I'm Vince Kelvin. You are listening to EC20, Decade of Dream, upcoming convention pre-podcast. And as we're about to enter a new decade, it only makes sense that I start this series with the man who's literally revolutionized the seduction community. Not only that, he's also a world-achieved martial artist, a person whose rate of evolution makes me think that every time I speak to him, it's a new incarnation. Wherever he will go, he masters something at the speed of light, and more recently, he's become number one music producer in the Bay Area, West Coast. I'm here with Arash Zepar Dibazar. So, brother, I really mean that you have revolutionized the pickup community. You came on the scene early this decade that's about to end. It was 2010 or 11, if I'm correct. And you shattered the old frames. You broke all world records. You currently have 5 girlfriends. You're living the dream, and that community, that specific community, owes you a lot. But I know that you're light years ahead of all of that. If you allow me, I'll start with the first question. What do you foresee being the future shifts at the level of, it's beyond seduction, you know, I know you got a program called Love Spell, at the level of love, sex, romance for both men and women in the new decade. And I don't know if you measure in terms of decade, but that's kind of the theme of those podcasts. What do you see will shift or needs to shift in the new decade at that level?
Yes, thank you, brother, for having me. It's always an honor to be here. And one of two things, Tupac said it best. He said, if I'm alive, the world is going to change. And if I'm not, then I don't know. So that's what I can guarantee, that in the next 10 years, if I'm still here in this form, the world will be completely different when it comes to men and women. And it's already taking place. I've been doing this for a long time. And what will happen is men will be back in the position of control, because they're not right now. And that's why the world is suffering. The male and the female energy will balance out again, where the female becomes, it will become cool for her to become a girl and soft and submissive. It will become cool for him to be dominant and strong and powerful. And it will be normal for men of power to have more than one woman and not apologize. The world will know that men desire more than one woman. That's not their fault. That's life. That's God. That's nature. This will be a known thing in 10 years for sure, and it will be very accepted. The world will split into 2 or 3 groups. The group that will try to fight that idea, which is going to fail miserably because you can't fight natural law and win. So this is a natural law. So then there's the group that's us. I call us INC Nation. And we're the guys who, and the women, who follow natural law. So we'll be in opposition to them because there has to be opposites in this universe. And there'll be the middle ground of everybody kind of watching, where a lot of people want to be on our team, but they're embarrassed, they're afraid, and they'll be switching sides as the tide turns. And the whole world will change because men and women will properly interact with each other when it's done right. If I'm still alive, then this is in this form, then for sure this will take place. It'll take place probably sooner than 10 years, but definitely things will be different, for sure.
I know that because I've witnessed it taking place at the level of the pickup community and the 3 categories that you have described. Now, any wise woman, and I've witnessed you in the presence of women and also witnessed their understanding that it is the greater win. It is to the benefit of women, that frame of mind that at first seems so foreign for those who were not logically exposed to it before. So I'm just curious, how should a woman who is intelligent perceive that it is to her own advantage? And somehow we cannot hear you anymore, my brother.
Oh, I was on mute. There we go. Okay.
Got it. Okay, you're back.
She should first look to see if she's happy in her current relationship or her non-existent relationship, and she'll quickly realize she's not happy, and that's the clue. Then she should realize how many times she has failed in keeping a man, even if she had a child with him, he left. And how many times she's violated herself by having sex with a man that she's not going to be with for the rest of her life. That's a violation. And at this moment, she's going to have to seek either help or continue down the wrong path, just like her ancestor, her mom, her grandma, and everybody else, you know, who made that mistake, her friends and stuff. So when she wants help and she wants her life to get better, then she'll follow natural law, just like natural law takes a man to the moon, to Mars, builds computers, dams, waters, filters water, takes man in the sky and under the ocean. This is all because somebody observed natural law and applied it to different fields in life. Now, I've observed natural law and I continue to observe it just like a scientist, and I apply it to the male and the female dynamic. And for that reason, I'm successful in ways that nobody else is at the moment, and they try, but they don't apply the science properly. It's a science. So if she wants to be happy, then she will comply. If she doesn't want to be happy, well, then that's her choice, because it won't affect my life and the women that I'm with, and she can always go and have a choice to be miserable. But that's the way it's done. There will be examples of myself and others who are doing it properly, and they'll be happy, and she won't be happy. And if she wants to be happy, she needs to balance herself out and follow the natural law. Simple.
I've always been fascinated, brother, because we are talking about evolution of consciousness in the new decade. And for the time that I've known you, I witnessed how suddenly you take on a new discipline and your rate of growth is unlike anything I've witnessed. I mean it when I say sometimes it feels as if it's a completely different incarnation while in this incarnation. So I'm curious. I pass it to you. However, you whatever distinctions you want to bring, what is your mindset at that level? While so many, they contemplate, they debate, there's probably people listening right now that 10 years ago, they were hoping to start something, a new discipline, and they're still debating. While you, I've witnessed you get a level of mastery in a discipline that was new to you very rapidly. So what can we learn from you at that level?
You know, this is a question I've looked at myself, and I don't have an answer. I really don't know what it is, because I can say this, I can say it's that, and I don't think it's going to help anybody. I really don't. I think that it'll be inspiring. And then those people that were going to change and grow, they would do it anyways, and they would just be a little bit inspired. And the people that weren't going to change and grow, they might be inspired for a moment, and then they're going to fail again. So it's going to be to their detriment, not to their aid. And why it's like this for me, it is like that. It's probably even more than that, you know, on a subjective experience, because you're experiencing it from the outside, right? And everybody's seeing it from the outside.
Yep.
From the inside, it's a lot faster and more rapid, because in order for it to be so visible on the outside and so sincere on the outside, you can imagine what's happening internally. It's shifting very, very fast. And you use a great term. You said it's like a new incarnation. I think that's the most accurate way of saying it so far. I haven't heard anybody say that. But that's what it feels like. It's a new incarnation. And, you know, we're literally speaking right now on me for the last 2 days, telling my girlfriends and the people around me, I'm in a brand new body. I'm a brand new person. Everything's changing. Nothing's the same. My eating habits are different. My body's changing again. My voice has changed again. My thought patterns have changed again. So you could say it's a new incarnation here again. How that's happening? I don't know. I don't know why it's not happening to others. I can try to guess at it, but it doesn't really make a difference. I think that once we realize that we can't really push the natural cycle of life any further than it is. This is like my belief here. Hold on, let me take this pill real quick. One second. There we go. We can't push the natural process of life. This is what I teach in Seduction and in Pickup. If a man can begin to observe all the natural cycles that are happening, like Lao Tzu said, you know, the Chinese mystic and sage, and it's been talked about many times, we need to observe the natural cycles of life, just like a farmer knows when to plant, when to harvest. people, if they're going to plan some kind of a flight from here to there, they have to check the weather, they have to check the conditions. And so all these things, everywhere we look where something serious is going on, where our life depends on it, the people in charge seem to be paying attention to the natural cycles of life. Things are happening. There's a day and a night, you know, there's things, there's seasons, there's these patterns that make themselves visible to us because of our intelligence. We can observe these things. So if we begin to observe the interaction between a man and a woman, patterns will begin to emerge. And through these patterns, we begin to see, okay, what I recommend for everybody, let's talk about evolution as we're talking about right now, EC2. I would say everybody should first pay attention to where they are. Then they should pay attention to that deep desire they have inside of them to be something else or to change. That's the clue. That's the GPS. That's the map. Now, you don't get rid of that, okay? You don't get rid of that. So maybe the power of concentration needs to increase, or the lack of distraction around. You know, I'm not distracted in my life. But really, that's all it is. Then it's a matter of keeping your focus on the destination and recognizing that every single day you're getting closer to it. But I can't tell you when you're going to get there. You know, I'm destined to completely be all over the world one day. Everyone's going to talk about me. I'm going to have so much money that I literally won't know what to do with it. So I'm deciding what I'm going to do with as much money as I'm going to have, which feels like I don't know what to do with. So I'm going to have to make a plan. I'm already making a plan for that money, how it's going to be used. What am I going to do with this level of fame? And I know this is the case for a fact. Now, let's say 8-9 years ago, people would say to me, bro, you should have more viewers on YouTube. Like, you should go blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I always kind of resented that weird compliment yet not compliment. I don't understand it. It didn't feel good to hear it. But now I understand what's going on. Now I understand what the hell is happening. I don't know the bigger picture, but I do know the part of the puzzle that I do know. I see where my desires are. I see where my deepest passions are. I see where I'm headed. I see what occupies my mind, and I'm going to go there. And it's very real to me that this shit's going to take place. But when it does, will be the right time that it does. And it's not up to me to push the seed to come out of the ground and become a tree. It will become a fucking tree when it becomes a fucking tree. The code is in there. The code is in the DNA. It's in the seed. And so this is me, my journey that everybody's observing. I'm a good communicator. I'm a great communicator, so I think this is what makes it very appealing. But outside of that, every person is like a seed put into the ground. The DNA, not just talking about the physical DNA, but the code, you could say, the consciousness, the nothingness that we come from, the purity of consciousness is there. And all you have to do is just relax, pay attention, kind of trust the bigger process, like the seed has to trust that the sunlight and the water and the minerals and the ground are going to turn it into a tree. It must know that. It can't get into a rush. But when it grows and it becomes a mighty tree, remember, it was just a seed one day. Every tree you look at was just a tiny little acorn or something. It's amazing. But we now have a new culture that decides everybody needs to rush everything, right? We literally have words, fast food, right? Fast food. Like, okay, there it is right there. I want some fast food. Well, eating was never a rushed ritual for the human being. Eating is one of the most important rituals if you want to have a girlfriend or friends. Eating is what you do to enjoy company and get to know each other. Right before this, I invited my old master martial arts, my master in the martial arts. I'm back in communication with them after many, many years. And I just sent them a text inviting him and his wife to dinner tonight. And I said, it's on me. That's not a fast food activity. That's a respectful activity. Like if you and I are going to go eat when I show up to LA or you come here, I value the time we eat. We're not looking for fast food. We're looking for a place to sit where we can enjoy the food and have a dialogue. And so if everybody slowed down on their evolution, you could say in quotes, they would actually speed up. If everybody slowed down on their seduction, they would actually speed up. if everybody slowed down on their yoga or their martial arts or their reading, they would actually speed up, because what would happen is they would begin to take the data and assimilate it properly, and it would become part of them. And instead of chasing the information would begin to make itself visible inside the system of the person. Anyway, kind of went overboard, but that's about it.
When we were teaching recently, you gave this beautiful example, and it really resonated, because I gave prior to that a similar example. I do not recall exactly how it came to be, but it was a witnessing of, I think, to define alchemy. You were eating soup, and you described the process, and I could tell that it really resonated to for those who were there, because we easily underestimate all the functions that already exist. So I know I'm a little bit vague right here, yet you were defining alchemy through the example of what happens when somebody takes a bite.
Yes, this is every person existing right now is a magician, an alchemist. You know, every person is, because all you got to do is, you know, I just ate a bunch of food. I had rice and beans and cheese and bread. I had some salad, some iced tea. All that is in my stomach. And the moment it enters my system, the process of alchemy, literally, per definition, begins to take place. And my body takes all the nutrients and puts it one way, and carbohydrates, and stores it here and there, and takes the fats and takes the things that are not good for me and puts it into the garbage disposal, right? To come out of the piss or the shit that we do, and all you and I have to do is just eat the food. The rest is taken care of by itself. That's alchemy. Eat a banana, drink water. Where does the water go? It becomes you. You know, the food becomes you. Everything becomes you inside your system. But it's distributed. And magic is everywhere. If you want to do time travel and look into the past, you just look up into the sky and you realize that whatever star you're looking at, it's taking light years for that light to arrive. Like, you're literally looking into the past when you look up. That's not what it looks like. We wouldn't know what's happening until light years. You know, it takes light speed a year to arrive to the Earth. That's like one light year and things like that. So every time you look up, you're looking into the past. And I began to see through meditation, and I got to give the proper acknowledgement to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, Transcendental Meditation. That's my practice right now. And Bikram Yoga. Those are the two things that I'm fully 100% committed to in my life. 100% committed to the last 7 months. Through the meditation, it's becoming very obvious that the process of magic and alchemy is already here. And we're looking so far away to try to find magic when it's here. And everybody loves the word alchemist and wants to be an alchemist, and they want to transmute. They want to take one energy and turn it into another. Well, just pay attention when you eat. That's what it's doing. It's taking one energy and turning it into another energy. And there's thousands of examples. That's like kind of a small example of it, right? Everywhere you look, you'll see that life is in the process of magic and alchemy. But what we're really looking for when we do that is somebody is trying to manifest something in their life because they desire something greatly, or they're trying to stop something from happening, like an illness or an upset. And that's why we want alchemy and magic. We want it in a specific moment to handle a specific problem. And that right there is a little bit lazy. That's like you've been completely eating shit for a very, 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 very long time. And suddenly your body is 400 pounds. And you decide you want to eat one food that's going to make you thin. That's impossible now. It's impossible, because to get to that level, you've done a lot of things. Cause and effect. That's an alchemy law. You've done a lot of things wrong. So now what happens is people have made all these decisions that have resulted in them in all the manifestations they already have that they don't want, and then they're looking for a secret spell or one datum or one idea that's going to transform all of that. That is not going to happen anywhere in the natural law. It doesn't work like that. What can happen is a person can have an idea or a thought that can change internally their subjective reality completely. That can happen. Where a person is now completely different. Now the 400-pound fat person now completely gets it. Food is this or that, and they're not going to deal with it like that. Once they fully get it, and they're internally different, we'll observe that they eat differently, they exercise differently, and over time, we will see the process take place as that's what it takes, cause and effect. Again, the seed can't grow any faster than it can. Babies can't go any faster than they can. The process of growth, survival, and decay is a law of the universe. And I don't know why we've been taught that that's not the way it's supposed to go. You know what I mean? If you're going to learn a skill, you're going to go as long as it takes, as far as it takes to get the skill. Some people are faster, some people are slower. But you can't rush your own process. Instead, you have to fall in love with your own process. If you fall in love with your own process, then life takes on a magical aesthetic quality that I experience on the daily right now.
This is so rich. I'm compelled to just simply toss a couple words and have your rendition of them. If that's okay with you. Honesty.
Can you say that one more time? You say the word and I do what?
No, this is so rich. What comes to me internally is, rather than a question, you have notions of a relation with the essence of concepts and words, so many, it's been polluted. So I share a word with you, and I'll let you play with that word. So the first that
that's
comes
smart.
To mind, because you have a sense of it that's above and beyond, and you've opened many doors because everybody has a sense of it. But before I go back into an actual typical question, the word is honesty.
Okay, this is a fun game. Honesty is very easy. It's stating things as they are. That's the definition. Not as they are not. You see that? In order to understand honesty, we would just go, anybody who states things as it is not is dishonest. And anybody who states things as they are is honest. And it doesn't get any more mystical than that. If a person says this shoe was moved from here to there, and it was moved from here to there, that's honesty. If the person says that she wasn't moved and it was moved, that's dishonesty and a lie. So honesty is not a mystical thing. It's just being able to observe the universe and report on it as it is. Now, when one observes the universe and sees it, then reports on it a different way, we have to ask ourselves, what was it about the actual circumstance that the person couldn't confront and decided to change it? Thus, we say a liar is a coward most of the time, right? Because they weren't able to just face what was really happening and say it as it was happening. But that's all honesty is. Honesty says, look, here's what I've observed, and I'm reporting on it exactly how it is. You know, and I think if we do that, I said this a while back. This was one of my key ideas for, I think, Prometheus or something I did. But the idea was, I'm not honest for your benefit. I'm honest for my benefit. You see? You also benefit by me being honest. But by me staying honest in my life, that means I'm constantly relating to conditions as they are. So that means I can quickly change conditions because I see them as they are. And while somebody else has now accumulated so much dishonesty that they can't even begin to be honest. They can't even begin to tell somebody that they wish they could be with another woman. I met with two people last night. They're both, one of them is a celebrity in her own world. She's a fitness competitor, champion, like IBFF, whatever these things are. And the other one is also in that area. And, you know, these are very, very good-looking people, and they're now in a relationship. They both know me. They asked me if I would help them because they're getting started, and I sat them down, and I said, these are the natural laws. And I went over through with them right now. I just said that because he just texted me right now, actually. I went through with them. I said, look, this is the science. Now, you can follow it or not, but this is the science. And once you understand the science, then you got to move forward. And as I was saying that, you could say I was being honest with that man and with that woman about what actually is. Not what she would wish it was, not what he would wish it was. It's simply, this is what's going on. Now, if you two want to get along and you want to start a good relationship, I highly suggest you start with what is, not what you wish it was. Then we can move forward from there and decide how we're going to set up our agreement. So honesty is just stating things as they are, and when you do it, you become smarter. You become sharper. Your mind is cleaner because, you're transparent. That's why no one's been able to take me out. I have people who have hacked my phones and are sending messages to my girlfriends as if it's me. And messages to me, they're able to do this somehow. It's unbelievable that they could do this. But it's also unbelievable that I'm still in my relationship better than ever before. And that even though they can listen to everything I say on my phone, they can watch every text I give, and God, they wish they could incriminate me. I'm still here, and these people are listening every day. I know this sounds insane to you guys, but it's literally real life here. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. Because all that can happen is their feelings just get hurt more and more. Because to see these texts, and to see my life, it must be devastating for people who have so much interest in seeing me fail. It's unreal. That can only happen because I state things as they are. And anybody who tries to take me out would have to state them as they're not. Well, that's easy to battle. You just state them as they are and you show proof. And the proof will withstand anything. Right? They said that my girlfriends were actresses. They weren't really my girlfriends. They were just my friends. Well, that didn't last very long because they're still with me. It's obvious no actress is going to stick around for 13 years, 9 years, 4 years, 2 years, and 1 year. Like, that's absurd. That's absurd. And they can't even say it anymore because it just sounds dumb now. You know what I mean? Like, how can you say that? It's dumb. So honesty will save you in the future.
Well, my brother, I want to be mindful of the fact that you're teaching at 1:30 and I'm teaching at 2 and we're nearing 30 minutes. We had said 30 minutes. So, wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for everybody listening, we are doing EC20 Decade of Dream. It's December 27, 28, 29. Surreal lineup. They call us the Avenger. Headlining AZD. And along with us, Brian Casella, Frank White, James Simon, your best bet is to click on the link. And if it resonates, then it's for you. We're entering the new decade in a whole new way. My brother, I thank you so much for all of the wisdom. And you are impacting the world and certainly have impacted and continue to impact my world. So thank you so much for everything. And that wraps up this interview. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.